Hey, After Buzzers, it's the America's Got Talent semifinals round two after show. We're going to be talking about all of the singers, all of the falling dancers, and of course, we have a special guest. Let's get into it.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
I got realness. I just kill shit because it's in my DNA.
Hey, After Buzzers, we are here with the one, the only, Samuel J. Comroe.
Hey.
Straight off the America's Got Talent stage, now a finalist, one of the first five finalists.
Yeah.
How's it feeling?
It's exciting.
Exciting?
Awesome. Get to do stuff like this now.
Exactly.
Dream come true.
You're kind of famous now, right?
A little famous.
Just a little famous.
Yeah.
Those followers going up.
Oh, yeah.
All the followers, everybody's wanting to be you. And also to my left, we have
at Sean Paul Payton.
All right, guys, I want to go ahead and just break into this episode. It is the second round of the semifinals. What were your overall thoughts of this tonight? Like, what were you thinking, Sam? Were you glad that you went last week, or would you have rather been this week?
No, I'm glad I went last week.
Yeah?
I got it over with. I got to do it. And making it to the finals, it's easy to say that I'm glad I did it last week.
Exactly.
Like, if I didn't make it, I'd be like, oh, man, I should have gone this week for sure.
Exactly.
But it was... I thought tonight's episode was awesome. I thought everybody brought it. I thought there were nerves a little bit in the beginning, mm-hmm. but that's natural. It's a lot at stake, but it was cool. It was cool to watch everybody perform.
What about you, Sean?
Dude, I think this show has gotten so much better once we've gotten into the final parts of it. Like the first half was a little bit weak today, just like the judges were saying, but towards the end they were doing pretty good. And, man... it's just amazing to have you here, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm rooting for the comics this year, man.
Right?
And now we're doing it.
Let's take a little look at your time on America's Got Talent from last week.
Do that. After the show, she came up to me. She was like, I could pray your Tourette's away. I was like, please don't touch me. She said, I could do it. Prayer works. I said, no, it doesn't. She said, yes, it does. I said, no, it does not. She said, yes, it does. Why would you even say something like that? I said, because 15 seconds ago, I prayed for you to walk away. And then she walked away, and I was like, oh, damn, prayer worked.
So, yes. Samuel, when you're coming up with all of these jokes, where does your motivation come from? What inspires you?
It's just real stuff that happens. A lady tried to pray my Tourette's away, and as soon as she left, I wrote it down. I was like, I'm
wait,
gonna
so
say
that
on
was
TV.
True. That was real.
Yeah. Most of the stuff I say on stage is real.
What percentage?
I'd say 90%.
Okay, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll try to find the other 10%.
Yeah. If you go through the set, you pinpoint things. I'm like,
exactly.
Nah, not real.
So when we were watching back there, you were like, oh my gosh, there's one of you is a bad person. Like, one of you is talking bad about these contestants, and one of you is talking good about these contestants. And I was like, yeah, normally I'm the one who talks bad about them. And you asked if I said anything about you. So mm-hmm. I want to roll to
Here
a clip last week of
Here
what
we
I
go.
Said about you.
This might change our relationship.
That was very disappointing.
I think that he sounds like a child version of Eminem who ate Tiffany Haddish.
That is an amazing description.
Like, there is something about him that reminds me of like an Eminem voice with Tiffany Haddish because he's so sporadic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And his jokes are funny and they do hit with me. And we've had a discussion, Sean and I have had a discussion about how we have a problem with like sometimes when comedians come on. Like, we're like, it's not funny. Like, there's some
or
things
one
that
of
just
us
aren't
thinks
funny.
Is funny.
Yeah,
and the other one doesn't.
That's what's so hard about comedy.
But yeah, so
that's exactly
it. I think that
we
you are
about.
Like Eminem ate Tiffany Haddish and had like a love baby, and I don't know what it is, but like I am captivated by you, so I do give you that.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Yeah, I think that's the funniest thing about the show is nobody knows where my voice come from, and then I just
where did it come
of,
from? Where did your voice come from?
I don't know. I'm born in Los Angeles. I really don't know. Like I said on the show, I think
anywhere.
I was just blessed with swag. Like, I was born with Tourette's, but he also gave me swag. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
Exactly.
So I don't know where it came from, but I do love seeing the comments about, like, people guessing where I'm from.
Where you're from?
Yeah, it's really funny.
You're, like,
funny.
Secretly adopted. You're on, like, some spy mission. We know
right.
where you're from.
Yeah.
All right. If you're watching right now in the YouTube comment section, you can gladly live chat us, send some questions your way for Samuel. But let's get into this show. We started off with Christina Wells, and she was singing, and I wrote down no bueno. How are you feeling?
I think that she was doing pretty good in the beginning, and then all of a sudden I wrote watch out because I could hear that she was wearing out her voice, and that's what started to happen about halfway through. I think that she's very passionate, and she is giving a good message to America about self-acceptance. And, you know, I think that this show has been great at emphasizing that you can't let anything hold you back. But just watch out, Christina. Try not to wear out your voice, and I think you're going to be all right from now on.
What about you?
Look, man, I can't be on a show like this.
You can't be on a show like this. You can always give like a great feedback from the performance, and then something behind the scenes. Like, that's kind of like what Vicky did. Like, when Vicky was on last week, she would like give like, oh, I really liked it because of blah blah blah. And, you know, like one time we had a backstage moment with X, Y, and Z. So you don't really even have to.
Right, yeah, right. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I didn't write down any notes because
I'm speaking from the heart.
There we go.
No, because I'm not a singer. I'm not. I don't do what any of these people do, so I can't critique anything they do. I love Christina. I think she's a powerhouse. I think she's super inspirational. I loved her performance tonight. I thought she looked beautiful. She was amazing. You know, a couple notes here and there. But on a show like this, nobody cares about that.
Yeah.
It's not about that. It's about who you are as a person. And then also, do you deliver for the most part on stage? And I think for the most part, throughout the time she's been on AGT, she crushes it.
Yeah, exactly. So. Somebody who was crushing it on the floor literally was Da Republic. A few people went falling and tumbling. I've told you 10 million times, Sean, like, I just have a problem with dance troupes that are above four people. Because I think once you start adding more and more people, the coordination and the sync just goes away, and I feel like they have way too many people.
And that's where I gotta disagree, man, just because, like, I have done some dancing myself, and I know just from being in those groups and going to the Carnival Festival that's at the Avalon down in Hollywood, when you see the majority of those performances that are being done for different agencies that are coming in to sit and watch them, those are the kind of sizes that you do see a majority of the time. So that didn't seem irregular to me, but I did feel like they seemed a little tired, and something was just wrong, because we all saw that they made a couple missteps there, and usually in dance, I always say that, like, a lot of times you can recover without it being too noticeable, but you could definitely see the mistakes that were happening. And unfortunately, since I saw Zucchero last episode, I really can't be impressed by anyone but them anymore when it comes to choreography. Like, this whole rest of the show, if anyone's going to win in dance, they're the ones that I would want to win, because... But that gets to your point, though, because then they almost seem too large, because they're massive, dude. They're like, massive. Even if they win $1 million, they split all that, and they got, like, $1,000.
They're going to put it towards this Vegas show. That's what it's going to be towards.
Yeah.
But I guess my thing, too, is if you're a dance troupe, I don't know about you, Samuel, but, like, if you are any of these acts, are you recording yourself practicing so you know what your flaws and mistakes are?
Maybe for a dance troupe. I mean, for me as a comedian, I've been doing it so long that I kind of know.
But you're testing your jokes in front of people, aren't you?
Yeah, of course, in front of live shows and stuff. For them, I'm sure they do record the choreography.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. People always say, like, you know, I liked them better last week, or I liked them better the week before. Well, yeah, of course. They had months to prepare for that first one. Mm-hmm. And then you only have a couple months to prepare for the next one. Then you got, like, a week to prepare for the next one. Mm. So it's like people saying, like, oh, I liked Eminem's first album. Yeah, he was working on that for 20 years of his life. Yeah. And then his second album, they were like, you know, come out with that immediately. And he shut it down. People were like, oh, I don't like this much. Yeah, he didn't work on it as long.
Yeah.
So for them, there were a couple mistakes, but... That group is so passionate. You can see it backstage. It's so fun to, like, watch. It makes me envious. I'm, like, sitting in the corner by myself. Big groups. And, so, like, I don't look at it like four people in a group or 10 people or whatever. Mm-hmm. I only look at it like, dang, I want some friends. Like,
I'm back sipping coffee. You're the loner. You're the loner at the lunch table, like, all alone.
Exactly. In my head, I am like, yo, if I win, I get all that money to share with nobody.
Seriously.
But I'm also like... But I could use a friend,
right?
I'll split it with one if you want to come help me, dance behind me.
So we do have a question for you, Samuel. Azeez Bilal wants to know, who has been your favorite comedian in AGT past?
Oh my goodness, favorite comedian AGT past? Dang, I haven't watched every season, so that's a tough question. Preacher Lawson, super funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love Preacher. Taylor Williamson was also one of my favorites. I like how Taylor just, like, commits It doesn't matter if you're going to laugh or not. Mm-hmm. He's in that character, and he is who he is, and he's just going to stay in the pocket. So I really like that about him. I'm very envious of that kind of trait, to be like, if I don't get a laugh on stage, y'all panic. I'll walk off stage.
You didn't
like that?
I'm done.
Okay, you don't deserve the next one then.
Oh, man.
Good choices. Next up, we had Noah Guthrie, who ended up changing I Will Always Love You, written by Dolly Parton, sung again by Whitney Houston, and...
You guys are evil.
I feel like Mumford & Sons hijacked I Will Always Love You.
He sings way better than I can. I agree
with that.
Absolutely. But you've seen my karaoke videos, haven't you, Joseph?
Fair assessment.
It's good, right?
But I get you can't take an original, like such a classic song that everybody knows, and change it up, because people are not going to be happy about it.
Everybody thought that Glennis was going to be the one singing that. I know for a fact.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. And that, when I saw him do that, I was like, oh, man, that means Glennis is not going to sing that. Dang. So that's the reason why I was disappointed, because I actually expected her to do it. But that's probably, maybe that's like what Simon said, was it was a wise choice, because by choosing to sing that, maybe it was a strategic move? I'm not sure. What do you think?
I mean, that's smart if he thought that far out of the box, because I didn't think that far. Let me sing I Will Always Love You so she won't be able to sing.
So
I mean, that's pretty genius.
That is pretty genius. That is pretty good.
I'm going to start doing it. If Vicky makes it to the next round, I'll be like...
You're going
to
be like, come out the trailer park?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to...
Like, make my background a trailer park if you could.
Oh, shoot.
No, I think it's... I mean, that's the challenge of a competition like this or a show like this, right? They always say if you do an original, you're taking a risk. So if that doesn't hit, the critique is always, oh, you did an original, you should have done something known.
Yeah.
And then if you do something well-known, it's too well-known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's so difficult, song choices, but Noah's voice is insane.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he has a great... But I agree with what Simon said, was when he got to the second half of the song and you really felt like the power that he's capable of singing with, when that came out, I thought that's why the week before when he sang his original song, mm-hmm. I loved that song.
Yeah.
Dude, his originals are spot on. I love the originals. Absolutely.
Daniel Emmett. He was up next. He performed, and he did not perform in another language. He performed in English, which I think Mel B was having a little bit of a problem with.
Mm-hmm.
He reminds me of like Donny Osmond's like love child. Like the hair, the face, like I passed on that one.
Well, all right, Joseph, here we go. Now I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Oh, wow.
I wrote some notes here.
Okay, let's hear your notes.
Okay, I said touching promo. Great singing intro. Ballad. I like the position of his song. Oh, you know what? I like the position of his song amongst the contestants, because at that point in the show, for some reason, it felt right to have a ballad. So that could have been more of the producer's say than his actual. But then I wrote musical theater or concert. I wasn't sure what I felt more of there, but I felt like it could be either one, because, like, I pictured, you know, like, maybe my fiance and I could be, you know, there. And
yeah.
Just enjoying the show or something. But let me not get too into it.
No, tell us some more.
Yeah. It was like
describe it more in detail, please.
It was like a beautiful romantic concert, and that'll stop.
I wanted
I'll
you
stop.
To read the rest of it. Yes, that's what I want. I see your notes.
Okay. I felt it a little bit.
Okay. I mean, okay. But
I mean, his voice is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous.
Right? Okay, so we can't... And
you can't deny that part.
Yeah, the production and stuff like that. Like, Daniel's what I feel like I sound like in the shower. You know what I mean?
Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
No, I hate karaoke.
You do?
Yeah, I'm an introvert off stage.
Really?
Even this right now is giving me a panic attack. Inside, I'm like, I should be home. I should be home right now.
Water.
I should be home.
Where's
watching
the
Da Republic, wishing I had more friends. That's what I
do
should
you,
be doing.
When you're on the road and you end up performing, do you like automatically when you're done performing just go straight to your hotel and go to bed?
Yeah. If I have a small group of friends, so if they come on the road with me, we go out and we hang out and stuff like, and they like karaoke and I like cheering them on while they do karaoke. But if nobody's there, it's Chick-fil-A and Family Guy and FaceTime with my daughter.
What's your sign?
My Pisces.
Oh, in the same way. That's why I was like, I was like feeling it. Yeah. I was feeling it.
Wow.
Next up, another singing. It was a singing episode tonight.
Yes.
I mean, Angel City Chorale came out. They sang. I'm pretty sure I saw Barb from Stranger Things somewhere in that crowd. I was like, pointed her out. I was like, oh my gosh. How are you feeling?
You know what? I didn't really get it until the very end when Simon described what the whole point of the song was. Like, you know, September 11th and it just, like, I wasn't, I don't know. It didn't feel like it stood out to me that much. I mean, I liked what she said at the end. I liked what you said about what she said at the end. Would you like to repeat that, Joseph?
The lady of the choir, I do not know her name, I'm sorry. She basically started talking about 9/11, and what I said was just appealing to middle America and the way that people are put it. I'm going to get so much hate. That's not what I'm meaning at all. I'm just saying, like, you're bringing something up that is going to strike a chord with somebody. And, you know, it was a tragic day, and it's something that you can easily say, and somebody's going to take to you. But that's what I said.
But it was a good thing. Like, if a contestant is feeling something like that and they choose to say it at the end of the performance, like you wanted to make a point of, it is very it is a good strategic move, because then America can relate to you even more. So that is a good opportunity that she took advantage
of. It's kind
of
like if you're watching another competition reality show and somebody's about to go home and they give us a sad story about their personal life or something like that, to try to get people to relate to them, vote for them or something like that. I mean, it's all, that's kind of where I put it too. But moving on to Aaron Crow, what is he technically? What would you consider that?
I don't even know. A danger act?
Yeah.
Is that what you call it? Right. Yeah, that's those are the only acts I just don't really relate to, like, at all. You know, obviously, like, everybody loves music, and then, like, I love watching the dance groups and stuff, but the danger acts are the ones that where I'm just like, I can't get on board with it. I think he's super talented, but I just...
Does he talk backstage?
Ooh. He said he liked me.
Hey!
So he had a voice. Was it deep? Was it nasally? Was it high pitch?
I can't even remember. It was real fast. It was in passing. It was just like, I like you. And then he,
that was it.
And then he kept going to more only, danger.
His only words.
He had more danger to attend to. But I don't, you know, Sacred Rihanna, she didn't break.
Well, speaking of her, another question came in for you, and it is, what was the deal with the projections behind your quarterfinal performance? Do you think it was Sacred Rihanna, or was there actually a problem?
Oh, dude, yeah!
Well, that was the second part scarier to me. Or was there a problem? It was, I mean, I have no idea what it was. Everybody said it had Tourette's, and that was rude as hell. Rude. You don't use my jokes against me. I don't know. Yeah, I have no idea. I wish I saw it so I could have acknowledged it when I was on stage.
You weren't seeing like little flashes in the back of your head?
Nothing. And then when I saw it on TV, I was like, whoa, that's insane that a crazy, huge thing like that could be happening behind me. And I'm just,
and
I
you
was
had
so
no
in this
idea.
Yeah, no clue.
You could have been having Sacred Rihanna all behind you. You would never
know. I
know.
I didn't see it the rest of the night, so super suspicious.
That's crazy. So then your competition comes on, comedic competition, let's say. Vicky Barblack.
Yes.
Trayla Nasty had her on last week. I kind of like the aspect of when comedians take jokes that they start with and they do a complete like 360, like the end, it like comes back around.
Right.
I like when everything kind of ties, tying a bow on it, and I kind of like that she did that. I like that there was, I was trying to figure out the point of like from one joke to another joke to another joke, and then I was like, what are we good at? And then at the end, I was like, oh, okay, it's all like.
Right. Yeah, it's a smart move, especially when you only have a couple minutes to perform stand up comedy, which is so difficult to do. It's very smart move to do like a callback or something like that. It's because the setup was already set. So now you can just use that punchline as much as you want. and it still works, and you don't have to take time to use words to set up a new joke or anything like that. So yeah, I thought it was brilliant. It was smart.
Do you guys have shorter times than the other people, don't you?
I don't know. I think we have the same amount of time. It just, maybe it feels shorter because the comedy set is usually 45 minutes. So
exactly.
When you see you guys somebody go out. When I go out, I have enough time to be like, hey, I'm Sam. I have Tourette's. All right, this is fun. Thank you.
When you have your 2 to 3 minutes to be able to perform your act, where are you pulling from? Are you pulling from past routines that you've done, new stuff? Like, is it a combo of everything? Like, how are you putting your jokes together?
Yeah, it's a little combination. Most of the stuff is older stuff because I'm comfortable with it, and I know that it works, and I know how tight it is too. The newer stuff that I do isn't as polished yet, so it's not really ready for like a 2-minute set.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll see comments like, "Oh, he did the thing that he did on YouTube." Well, yeah, I'm in a huge competition.
Exactly. Right. It's like, look at the people that are singing. They probably sang the same song at one point in their life.
Right. Right. They don't want me bringing out new stuff because if I brought out new stuff, they'd be like, "Oh, that wasn't as good of a set." Well, yeah, Doc, you told me not to do the polished stuff. But so now I got to talk about pizza for 45 minutes, and I don't have good jokes about pizza.
But on that note, staying original, how do you stay original? I know that you mentioned earlier that sometimes you just pull from your life on a regular basis, day to day. Is there anything else that you feel like really helps you? Or
yeah, I mean, I just watch a lot of stand-up comedy, it's very difficult to be original. Mm-hmm. There's so many comedians, and there's only so many topics you could really talk about, but I think that's why my style is different, at least. My voice and my timing and my energy on stage, I make sure to be very passionate in every bit that I'm doing, so hopefully that translates and relates to people too, because a lot of time I talk about people being rude to me or irritating things in life, and if I'm talking in a frustrated manner, I feel like people at home are like, yeah, we hate dogs or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Not we hate dogs, but you know what I mean, we hate the shelter that
keeps
dogs.
I hate dogs. I do. Especially on airplanes. I need to understand how come if you have a peanut allergy, they make the whole plane stop eating peanuts. However, if I have a dog allergy, you can have your dog in a carry-on. It makes no sense to me.
See, this is a great
service dogs. Service dogs.
Now you're a comedian.
Right?
We're going on tour, and I have to split my money. Great.
Oh, there we go.
Split my wings.
We are now Us the Duo. It's a new group coming through.
Featuring Donald Glover.
We Three came out. We Three came out, and they had a Trump-eratic song, as I would call it. I wrote, "Please stop."
Man, dude, like
it was rough for me.
I wish.
Who do you like?
That's a good question. That is a good question. My, it's a rough night.
Hey, I was very nice to you.
All kind of. Near the end, the second half was very sweet.
This is why we balance out the show.
I see what's happening.
Well, somebody really liked tonight was Glynis Grace. I thought she did fantastic.
We Three. Yeah. And then we'll go to, we're not skipping over people.
Oh, man. I wish they had just kind of went with what they like, because I feel like when they tried to take Simon's advice, they were trying to go pop. I did not like them going pop. I want you guys to stay indie. I want you guys to stay rock. I don't care whether it's hard rock or Christian rock. Rock. You guys are rock, and I feel so good when I hear you guys doing rock. Like that's the kind of music that I like. And like, man, if I had it my way, everything would be 90s rock on the radio. Like, I'm talking like Filter, Creed, all those, Yellow Card, Taking Back
Creed.
Sunday.
What happened to Creed?
Yeah, they're gone.
Said it like it just happened. Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone. It literally just since happened.
Since this morning, has anybody seen Creed?
I mean, I can sing it if you want.
Yo, I agree with... I agree. I thought that it was... it's kind of unfortunate that... So, when Simon says something, you want to listen to him, and I think that it was maybe... miscommunication or something, but I agree. I love We Three. Yeah. I think they're like, their story's amazing, and I just love them as a band. And when they do, like you said, their first few auditions, the first few episodes, I love that little pocket where they're at there. And Poppy, they wanted to try something new, but Simon's right. They needed like a moment, and I really wanted that for them. I wanted them to get that moment too. And the song choice might have been the wrong song choice.
And there's another thing, too. Now that I think about it, they were connecting with their mom on a lot of those songs, like that had passed away.
Right.
And that kind of brings me to a question I have for you, because your mom had passed away, too, right?
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to whisper. She's not here.
Okay.
The ghost of my mom.
She might be.
She also passed away, correct? A light just falls.
And like, for that... You know, my family is very important to me, and so many people talk about their families on this show. And when something like that happens, I know that it has to hurt. And, like, how does it affect your goals for your family? Because for me, I feel like one of the things that I always wanted to do was, like buy my mom a house with all this money I could make in Hollywood. Clearly, that I'm nowhere close to that. And so, like, she's getting older, and I kind of worry, what if she leaves before that happens? So how do you shift your goals when that happens and just... Like, was there more that you wanted to do before she passed?
Right, yeah. Well, to just bring up the fact that she passed away, that's another reason I relate to We Three so much.
Right.
On that level. And when they did their first audition and stuff, that song moved me so much because mm-hmm. I felt it made me think about my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. The house thing, for sure, all those things. Because I didn't... My mom passed away 2 days before I made my TV debut.
Oh, man.
In 2012, 2 days before I did the Conan O'Brien show. So I found out about it a week before. My mom had had cancer for years.
Mm-hmm.
And so I call my mom and I tell her, and she's on chemo and she's just not the same person she was. You could hear it in her voice. And my sister, the day after I called and told her I just got Conan, called me and said, you need to come to Las Vegas right now.
Right.
Mom's not doing well. And I get to Vegas, my mom's unconscious, she has like a breathing machine, and maybe 10 minutes after I'm there, she passes away.
Dang, man, she just wanted you there.
Yeah, it was like a movie, man. It was insane. I have five sisters, one brother, we're all coming from different places of the world. We all happen to be in the same house, under the same roof when it happens. My mom has her favorite movie on, it's The Sound of Music's playing. Right when the credits roll, her breathing stops.
Wow.
And it was like this insane, and you could feel her soul, her presence in the room.
It's so real.
Yeah, it was this insane roller coaster because I just got something that I've been working on mm-hmm. for my entire career. Like 7 years nonstop every night in comedy clubs working for this moment, and I finally got it, and it was just, I couldn't be happier. And then this thing happened, and it's just like, holy crap, how do I handle these two beats? So when I went on the Conan O'Brien stage, you know, I try, if you watch the video, I'm smiling and I'm laughing and I'm mm-hmm. trying my best to make her proud type of moment.
Yeah.
But all those things that you said are 100% true. Yeah, trying, you know, wishing that she was here for this moment, mm-hmm. for what's happening in my life now, so I could buy her house, so I could take care of her, so I could take care of the medical bills, all that stuff.
Yeah.
It's nothing that I can regret because I couldn't help what happened, obviously, but it's something that'll definitely always be on my mind, and I try to use that for my daughter now, and I want to make sure
so
that
good.
My 8-month-old daughter, she gets everything she wants, because my mom, honestly, I think she spoke this moment, what's happened to me, into existence. She wrote me a letter before she passed. I read the letter the night she passed away. It said I was going to be a star, and
God, dude, now this
is happening. I mean, it's movie stuff that's taking place right now. It's
dude,
pretty crazy.
That energy, I am so happy for you that you shared that story right there, because, like, I just feel like that energy is so, like, the fact that you got there, like, I'm gonna call my mom tomorrow. I'm gonna call your mom. Yes, please, everybody, do. That was touching.
Oh,
that was touching.
Very touching. Another touching was Glynis Grace.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to get
smooth
out of that
for
a second. Just trying my hardest, guys.
I saw it working in your head.
I was
like, how are we gonna move on from this mom stuff?
How are we gonna? Glynis Grace. she came out. I thought it was beautiful. I thought it was a beautiful rendition of whatever song she was singing. I don't know what it was.
Maxwell.
Okay.
I just had to put that out there, bro. Oh, Maxwell is a legend, man. And I can barely speak because she was great. She was great. I'm just like, Mel B, yes, yes, yes. Go on to the next. I wonder sometimes I'm kind of conflicted because I know she has past experience, and I want her to win because she's really good, but I also want other people that haven't had as much opportunity in the limelight to win instead. So I'm not sure how I feel right now, but she should definitely be in the finals.
I agree with that 100%. And I think that I've just kind of wrapped my mind around the fact that she's not big here.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody that's in these semifinals deserves it in some shape, form, or way. And everybody's very, very talented. And this is a platform no matter what.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, the person that wins, I mean, technically the person in second, third, fourth, fifth place, they're going to do just as well just for the platform.
Right.
And it's like it gives you such great leverage for, you know, what you want to do. I mean, mm-hmm. like you were saying out there that like you just being on the show was helping, you know, your sales and stuff. Like,
yeah. I sell out clubs now. And that's what I was just going to get to. What you just said is spot on. It's already changed everybody's life completely.
It's so good.
Like, all the acts that you saw tonight in the last semifinals can go on tour, can live mm-hmm. their dreams, can do exactly what we set out to do before the show. So the first place thing would be amazing for mm-hmm. anybody, mm-hmm. but everybody it's cliche, but everybody has legit won already.
Yes. Exactly. It's like a weird way to look at it, too, because like a long time ago when American Idol first came out, it was like, no, like Kelly all Clarkson, these other people, like, no, and then now it's like just an embracement, like, because there's so much different talent. I think that's the great thing about America's Got Talent. It's like, you know, you see so many different realms, so many different spectrums. You see things that you would never see anywhere else.
Right.
And that's a pretty awesome thing. Mr. Violinist, Brian King Joseph.
Yeah, I love this guy, man. I've said it from the beginning. He's one of my favorites. Kind of like how you relate to we three. I relate to Brian King Joseph just because my grandpa had a neurological disease, and he died from it, unfortunately. And I'm not going to get as sad this time. Like Brian, seeing him suffer through that nerve damage is incredible, because he's saying that like every time he's playing, like his hands feel like they're on fire. I can also relate to that too, because my doctor told me I have tendonitis in my ankles. So now every time that I'm driving, like, they hurt so much.
I thought you were going to say you play a violin with your feet.
I don't play no violin.
Every time I'm just playing violin with my feet, they really start aching.
No. But so seeing him in that kind of pain, it's like, dang, that boy is trying hard. And like, he's got to get there to the finals too. Like,
man, yeah, I'm so proud of him. Totally agree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That performance for me was best of the night. Probably just overall, like, stage, the lighting, the music,
coming
his
down.
Energy. Yeah, yeah, where he was in it. I thought he was gonna fly.
That would have been cool.
I thought he was gonna Lady Gaga. Yeah, when I saw it, but I thought it was really cool that how they brought him down, and then I thought the whole performance was like spot on. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. It was really good, and I have always. I've always had a problem with violins, because I feel like a lot of times people play them and they could sound good, but there's so much squeaking, and I never hear squeaking with him
True.
Playing the violin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's like key. It sounds like everything he did. And then he did the guitar.
Yeah,
that one, I was like,
cool,
all right, getting it.
Yes.
Last but not least, we had Courtney Hadwin.
Yeah.
Singing Born to Be Wild.
Yeah. She, you know, My fiance really loves this style of music, and actually she likes to sing like that. She's a much better singer than I am. But so I trust her knowledge on this, that Courtney is amazing. Just her energy when she's on stage, like she's dancing, she's singing, she's going wild, just like the song said. And I feel like, just from listening to the radio all the time, I love Drake, so we can keep on bringing in the Drake. But we need more different music from what we hear on the radio all the time. Like, you know, it's just pop music, pop song after pop song after pop song. We need some more rock, and that's why I like Courtney, because she's bringing in the rock.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's, I mean, she's only 14 also.
Yeah, she's young.
It's, I keep, like, having to remind myself that, because she's so amazing. It's insane. And then I also really like the fact that she's super original and unique, and doesn't do the poppy stuff or mm-hmm. the ballads. She's something that's completely different from anybody else on the show right now.
Yeah, I agree. To a degree.
You know what? Close your laptop.
No. First line.
At the end of her performance, I really did enjoy that aspect, because she got out of the screaming phase. I don't like the screaming.
Okay.
I think that it becomes a little bit too much. Her voice is beautiful. Like, when I hear her voice out of screaming, I'm like, I would listen to this.
Yeah.
But the screaming to me is just a little bit
off point.
That's passion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
I understand what you're saying, though, because back in the 90s, I did not like screamo. I liked emo, but I didn't like screamo. So once you pass that threshold of too much screaming, then it's bad. Unless you're Slipknot, because Slipknot was very good with their screaming.
Somebody in the comment section said, why is there no sound on the clips of the performances? Because I do not like hearing the sound.
It gets
loud, and then it's hard sometimes.
Oh, man.
Speaking of 14, you said that you know she's 14. What did you want to be when you were younger?
Oh, man. I wanted to a bunch of things. I wanted to be a professional athlete, and then my dad was like, no. And then he just shut it down real fast. He was like, no, look at you. No. Jeez. And then I wanted to be a veterinarian. I went to high school to be a veterinarian.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a 4-year program that was like way away from my house, commuted there for it specifically. And 2 weeks into the 4-year program, I realized I didn't want to be a veterinarian. I just wanted a puppy. I was like, yo, I'm not trying to like help them and stuff. I just want to like hold one.
Yeah.
And then that dream died. And then 17 years old, I did stand-up for the first time at my high school.
What prompted you to do that?
I tried theater for the first time
because
I was kind of like the funny guy in my friendship circle. So I was like, I'll try performing. And then I just realized that I was working harder than everybody else, and I wanted it more. So I was trying to think of something I could do solo by myself where I just had to rely on myself. And stand-up kind of presented itself. I'd watch it on TV, Comedy Central. My dad's always wanted to do it, so... When I saw the opportunity, I was like, yeah, I'll go to the principal, ask him if I can do a monthly lunch show. And I did in the auditorium and just fell in love. Thank God for Dr. Thompson. My principal, I don't know any other principal who would let a 17-year-old kid just get up on stage and talk for 20 minutes. He didn't even look at what I was saying. Wow. It was not good. It was not stuff you should be saying on a high school stage. So, yeah, I fell in love with it immediately, though.
That's pretty awesome. I mean, a young age and, like, going straight at it and kind of figuring out what you want to do, that's kind of like, I guess everybody's kind of dream and goal, like, find it at, like, that
early
pinnacle,
so,
pinnacle teen years. And I know that with the greatness that's come from this show, you've also probably had some haters. speaking of one hater... let's go to this little tweet.
Yes. Oh goodness.
It comes from Randy Tiggs, and Randy ended up saying at Samuel J. Comroe, can you be funny for the finals? Because I just watched the semifinals and that was not funny at all. Your black joke was close to offensive. To which you responded, this guy's trying to be an actor in his bio. Hope he makes it. Always smart to badmouth other entertainers publicly.
Dude.
I went back and forth on how I wanted to respond to that.
Did you? How long did that take you? Like, did you, like, back up?
Yeah, because I was going to go with, like, I was going to be like, bitch. That's my usual go-to.
Yeah.
Just, bitch. But I had to go with, well, you know what messed me up was seeing that he was an actor.
Yeah.
And then also seeing that he's trying to do stand-up comedy. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, I get trolls and stuff like that on the internet, but, bro, you're trying to do something in the industry that took me a long time to do, and I'm friends with a lot of the other people trying to do the same thing you're trying to. So it was just mind-boggling. It was like if a person trying to host a show right now tweeted at you, like, boring, not good, and you're just like, bro, we're on the same team. We're trying to do the same thing. So when he did that, I was... And to say... To be a comedian, or trying to be, he's an aspiring comedian, and to say the joke was close to offensive is insane to me. That's all jokes.
Yeah.
All jokes are close to offensive.
Right.
That's what makes them funny, is you're not supposed to laugh at it, and then you laugh at it. That's the art of stand-up comedy. He just said the definition of stand-up comedy as, it was just insane. He was like, oh, you shouldn't do stand-up comedy. You are stand-up comedy.
Let's look at this picture.
Oh, man.
Blocked.
Yeah.
And then you said, sorry for my behavior, everyone. I usually try not to get into it with haters, but that was my first time being attacked by Top Ramen.
Don't put that close to me.
No, you don't want the Top Ramen?
You don't want the ramen.
I mean, no, I have been trying to get, like, free stuff through this little fame that's
great
happening,
and you
so
get a couple noodles.
Well, not just this, I'm hoping that they mail me more.
Do you think that with the times and with how the culture is changing in America, it makes it harder to tell some types of jokes?
Not harder to tell those jokes, but you're just going to get more flack immediately for it.
Does that freak you out, or does that make you afraid at all?
No, it doesn't make me afraid. The only thing it makes me want to do is honestly, like, delete my social media sometimes. I think about that all the time. The only reason I don't is because now I can promote my shows, and people will come, which is awesome. But as far as, like, tweets or putting my stuff up on YouTube, which I do a lot of, anytime there's like negative criticism or stuff like that, in my head I go, why do I have social media? I just want to create and I want to be funny, and that's my mission. But I'm not trying to that'll do a lot of damage to your mental health to just like scroll through hate
exactly
nonstop. And when stuff like this happens, I said I usually don't get involved with haters, but I do, like,
you
a
have
lot.
To at some point. At some point, you gotta like push on. Lot.
Yeah, I've been cool about it for the last few months, trying to be chill, and then I was just like, the real Sam is bad.
And getting to the last but not least, let's get into what your predictions are. Who are going to make the top five? What are we thinking?
I would say definitely Glennis Grace, yes. Brian King Joseph, yes. Courtney Hadwin.
Yes.
I want Vicky to make it. Angel City Corral. I think they're gonna make it.
I think you named it.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
The same, solid. Same for you.
Yeah.
Dang, that's it.
I'm not gonna play this game.
He's not gonna play this game.
I love all the X. You all were amazing tonight.
All amazing.
Don't listen to the hate coming from the internet.
Yeah, that's right.
So, in wrapping this up, Samuel, there was one thing I wanted to ask about.
When I was doing some research here, one of the things about your originality is Tourette's, and I've never seen a Tourette's comedian before you, which I think is outstanding. And do you feel like it gets a little bit easier when you're on the stage, like for it to not bug you as much,
right? Doesn't show up as much. Yeah, sometimes it's weird, like you just brought it up, so now it's probably gonna happen more.
Sure.
If I'm thinking about it, it happens more.
Yeah.
And when I'm on stage, it goes away unless I'm talking about it,
right?
Or even sometimes when I am. That's why my parents would put me in sports and different activities and stuff like that. It's what I tell a lot of people who contact me with children who have Tourette syndrome, is like, get involved in activities. Keep them busy, because as long as you're, like, moving and you're nonstop, you're not as focused on it. So I'm not sitting there in this, like, little stress ball thinking about having Tourette syndrome. And I'm just, and especially when I'm on stage now, I've been doing it so long that I'm just confident. And I think once you get your confidence, you get a little swag.
Yeah.
You're not as focused on it, so you don't have to worry about it so much.
Right. So your comedy is actually helping you. And then also I've seen that some kids that suffer from Tourette's as well, when they're singing, I think there was a guy that was on The Voice where when he was singing on stage, it just completely went away.
Right.
And so I think that also speaks to the power of art. And how important it is for us to continue to do that. I'd love for us to play a clip about that, but I think we're running out of time. So, Joseph.
Yeah. So, just last wrapping it up, Samuel, if you win, if you don't win, we're sending you all the great vibes that you do win.
Absolutely.
But either way, where do you want your career to go next?
Oh, goodness. My career is already kind of going there. It's the tour. I'm booked out. 2018 is completely full now.
That's sweet, dude.
Yeah, it's amazing. It really is a blessing. And then 2019 is already filling up. So the tour, and then I just want to keep creating.
Yeah.
Keep coming up with different ways to present my material, and put out specials and tour for the rest of my life. That was the dream when I first started, was as long as I could do comedy for the rest of my life and it could provide for me and my family, that's the goal, and it's happened.
Well, you're getting there, and that's pretty awesome. So I'm, like, very, very glad that we had you on today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for stopping by.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for having some top ramen.
Yes, sir.
I am Joseph Shepherd. You can find me at Joseph A. Shepherd on Twitter, Instagram, and all of the greatness. We have the lovely
Samuel J. Comroe. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Samuel J. Comroe, and tour dates at SamuelJComroe.com. Thank you.
And I am Sean Paul Payton. You can find me at Sean Paul Payton on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media, and also at Donald Glover's Double.
Well, guys, see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.